From the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, this is a Normal News special report. I'm Chris Goldstein. Today, we'll hear an interview with Steve Cubby, captured at the 2006 Normal Conference in San Francisco. Steve is an internationally recognized medical marijuana activist who was recently released from the Placer County, California jail. Here, Steve makes one of his first media appearances since his incarceration. He spoke on the last day of Normal 2006, and first I asked about his impressions of the conference.
Big change from a couple of weeks ago when I was cooling my jets at the Placer County Jail in my own private suite. I think the biggest thing that has impressed me about the conference is a sense of community, the sense of we're all in it together. And that's a wonderful, wonderful feeling after someone that's endured incarceration and the whole hopelessness that so many prisoners feel. I was very fortunate that I did a relatively brief period of time. I did 40 days for my possessing a mushroom stem and a guest possessing a couple of peyote buttons. That was out of 120 days that they wanted me to serve. But after 40 days, the Sheriff Ed Bonner, came down, shook my hand, told me he was honored to meet me, said they were going to get me out of there, I didn't belong there, that they recognized that I was a leader in a group that had legitimate legal standing because of the law, and that Prop 215 was here to stay, and law enforcement was going to have to accept that. So I immediately wondered if I had had too much Marinol that day. But sure enough, it was the sheriff. He was shaking my hand. He was saying all those nice things. And I told him, I said, we don't want to be afraid of our police. We don't want to live in a world without police. We really do want to get along with the police. And it's wonderful to hear you recognizing our rights and that We need to have more dialogue. Of course, I should add that when I was first brought into the Placer County Jail, I was very ill. I did not get medical attention. It's an oversight that happens in any kind of a system, but the jail staff certainly heard about it. Hundreds of phone calls. I recall the deputies called me out and they were all huddled around the monitors and the cameras counting the number of people, and it was 100 or more people smoking marijuana right there in front of the jail. It was, I mean, cats and dogs living together. It was the end of the world. And they came pleading to me, and I thought, you know, I'm going to remember the fear. These big, bad deputies ready to pee in their panties because of all these activists out there. I'm going to remember this moment because I want to communicate the power that we do have when, you know, we marijuana people, getting us to show up for anything is like herding cats. But when you do show up, the police really take notice of that. I mean, they were very intimidated by that. They definitely were counting numbers, and to them, numbers are strength, and strength is something that all police understand and respect. And they certainly treated me with great respect afterwards. And the message that I'd like to get out to people is that when you show up for a demonstration, when you make your body heard, you may see the stone hard face of the system from the outside, but I've seen the big bad deputies with their panties in a wad from the inside. And I'm telling you that this stuff matters, and you create respect for all of us, for yourself and all of us, when you take the time and make the commitment to show up for something like this. I was freed from that first incarceration. It was supposed to be 120 days, and I got off with 40 days. But then they immediately brought me back to talk about punishment for going up to Canada and doing pot TV for 2 years. And that was the more serious offense. I was looking at 3 years for that because, my God, I was up there in Canada. I was on TV. I was promoting marijuana. The great thing is that we were able to get that reduced to 20 days. From 3 years, they went down to 18 months, and then my lawyer, E.D. Lehrman, who I think is just a genius, she got in there and ground them down to 60 days, no, to 90 days. And I said, well, Judge, if I'm supposed to go on home detention for 90 days, I got a family to take care of. I've got a wife and 2 children. I'd rather take 60 days in jail and be able to have that extra time to provide for my family. And the judge wasn't being mean. He says, I'm going to give you your wish. He gave me the 60 days. And compared to what the prosecutors wanted, that was as good a deal as I was going to strike. So I was in for 20 days, and they wouldn't release me. And I got a note from the jail captain, captain of the jail, and he had become a very strong supporter. He said I didn't belong there. He wanted to do everything to get me out. But he sent me a note saying that he was being directed not to keep me in custody and not give me early release. Well, I know the chain of command, and I know that his boss, and I don't want to be any more specific than that, was blocking things. So I put out a request to the activists. I said, please make your voice heard. I don't think the sheriff knows that I'm still in custody, and we have to let him know. 2 days later, I was informed that the sheriff had been personally advised that I was in custody and had ordered my immediate release. And I'd just be getting out now if it wasn't for the activists stepping in and giving me that kind of assistance. So it really does make a difference. For someone on the inside feeling the enormous pressure and weight, the full force and animosity of a system that's determined to crush freedom, crush cannabis, and crush medical marijuana, to feel that full weight and to see that there's a counterbalancing weight of us on the outside, that is the good news that I bring to this program today.
Steve Cubby's incarceration was anything but routine, and I wondered how his fellow inmates treated him.
Well, the other inmates, if they have any communication at all with me, it can cost them a huge price. They go off of the special time that they're on where they only have to do half time, and they then have to serve their full time. So just communicating in any way to me was could mean months of extra time for them. And inmates were regularly coming up, shaking my hand, high-fiving me, thanking me for my work, writing secret messages, right in front of judges and bailiffs, getting out of wherever they were to come over and shake my hand. I was humbled that I could have that kind of effect on these people, because to me they were facing such longer prison terms, and yet they were shaking my hand. I wanted to tell them, you guys are the ones that are really brave. But the deputies treated me like a celebrity. There is this willingness to look the other way when prisoners are talking to me, to excuse other deputies being especially communicative with me, because everyone recognizes a shift is happening. And regardless of what the FDA says, regardless of the DEA raid on 419 in Sacramento, and regardless of all these other things, the people are with us, and the media is with us. And in the 10 years since the passage of Prop 215, the changes that have happened here in San Francisco are just absolutely unbelievable. I mean, when we did Prop 215, nobody would use the word medical marijuana. You would never see it in print, and they'd certainly never speak it on radio or TV. And when we finally qualified for the ballot, I was sitting next to my wife, Michelle. We're watching the TV, and we're eagerly awaiting them to get to the 215 initiative because we knew they would have to say medical marijuana. And we wanted to see what it would be like to say this forbidden word. Well, they didn't just say medical marijuana once or twice, but 22 times. And they said it like it was the most common word. And the day afterwards, everyone on the planet was using it. And of course, it was just absolutely amazing to me that this forbidden word could cross into the American lexicon with just the qualification of this initiative. And it has taken 10 years for that vote heard around the world, reverberating, to break through this cultural war that absolutely, positively does not want to accept any medical benefits from cannabis. And I see right now that it has taken 10 years, but when that sheriff shook my hand, the most conservative Republican county in California, I knew things have changed, and they have.
Witnessing the medical marijuana patients and the dispensaries in California, it was hard not to notice that San Francisco was definitely different than any other city in the USA. I asked Steve, did this come directly from the voters?
When we set out to write and pass Prop 215, we had the benefit of a very amazing woman by the name of Anna Boyce, who had brought this initiative up before a vote twice in the California legislature and passed it twice, only to be shot down by a veto by Governor Pete Wilson. And Anna has never really gotten her due, but she organized patients and old people and retired people and doctors and family physicians and nurses and gay people, young people, students. She really worked along with Dennis Perone and a lot of other people to create a whole spectrum of groups that supported medical marijuana. And that made a tremendous impression on San Francisco officials. I've been an opponent to a lot of the initiatives that have been created since then because they did not have the kind of cultivation clauses and protections that we felt was so important. So what we have noticed is that the more pro-patient the initiative, the better it does at the voting booth. The marijuana initiatives that have the low numbers don't do as well as the ones that have bigger numbers. Or in California's case, we had no numbers at all. We didn't feel there should ever be a limit on how much a patient should be restricted to use. And initially, if you look at the ballot arguments, the police all agreed with us, and they said, you pass this law, and marijuana is legal for everyone. And boy, did they change their tune once that law passed. All of a sudden, it was, well, that doesn't change anything. It's just an affirmative defense. Well, it says right here in the ballot that if you citizens vote for this, you may as well be voting for full legalization because that's what you're going to get. And now we passed it, and now you're changing your tune. So California has been the battleground. It continues to be the battleground. But amazing things are happening here. Hundreds of dispensaries are now operating in the state, dispensing 60, 100 pounds or more a week to patients in their areas. You know, the largest dispensary in California is in Bakersfield. And if you know California at all, you know that that's an area of California that we privately refer to as Calabama. It's a very conservative country western kind of an area, yet there is the largest dispensary of all operating in Bakersfield. There's hundreds of dispensaries up and down California that operate every day selling marijuana clones, marijuana plants, candy, edibles, cookies, sweets, and a marvelous selection of really potent, clean, wonderful cannabis. And I'm not exaggerating. I think the people in here at the conference, seeing what's happening in San Francisco, have had their eyes open. We have changed the world.
Or eyes squeezed closed.
Chinese eyes, yeah. This is the last time I'll ever miss a normal conference. These conferences have just become so amazing and such wonderful learning experiences that I'm going to just promise myself never to miss another normal conference. It's been too rich an experience for me to ever pass up again.
Steve Covey here at the Normal Conference. Thanks for joining us. That's Steve Covey on the last day of the Normal Annual Conference in San Francisco, California. You can find out more about Steve on his website, KUBBY.com. That's www.cubby.com. This is Chris Goldstein with Normal News. Stay tuned to our new Normal Conference event podcast feed. Visit the Normal website to find out more. Today, we'll be featuring Ethan Nadelman, the director of Drug Policy Alliance. Stay tuned on Normal's website, www.norml.org. This is Chris Goldstein with Normal News.